more than whatever you need. You have so much more. And we've learned over the last month that Christ brings us hope in our lives. Christ brings us peace in our lives. He brings us joy in our lives. And today we're going to learn about the fact that Jesus brings love into our hearts. And love is so important. And as we talk about that, you know, we have made just this big push this Christmas about a love offering for missionaries. And the reason we've done that is because missions is so important. It's so important at the Christmas season because Jesus came to earth. It was his mission to come to earth and to die for the sins of man and to rise again. So Christmas is all about missions. So that's why we have such a big emphasis on missions. And somebody will say, well, Kenny, why do you hype up an offering like that? It seems like you're talking an awful lot about money. Well, here's the deal that's really cool. We're not going to keep a dime of it. Not a dime of it. We're giving 100% of that offering away to missions. 100%. Not a dime is going to stay at this church. So why do I make a big deal about it? Because missionaries need the support and help. And over the last month, we've highlighted three different groups that our offering is going to go to. We're going to split it equally amongst four different people. We're going to send it to the International Mission Board, which helps missions all across the world, from China all the way to Russia to South America. We're going to send it to the North American Mission Board, which helps church planting in cities like New York and L.A. and Salt Lake City and different areas like that. We're going to help our local Sunrise Children's Service with that offering as well, which helps children right here in Davis County to be placed into godly homes in the foster care system and that sort of thing. And the fourth group that we're going to highlight, and normally we've been doing this at the end of the service, but we're going to do it right now because we have this special guest choir coming at the end. So I want you to see the fourth mission group that we're going to send it to, and that is a guy by the name of John Carr, missionary to New York City, who went to New York this last summer. They worked with John, so buddy, crank it up, Jarrett, press play, and look where the fourth part of this offering is going to go this Christmas.
Hello, Life Community Church. My name is John Carr. This is my wonderful wife, Bonnie, and our two children, Kayla and Emily. Together, we serve as missionaries to New York City. We both grew up in the Atlanta area. We both lived in a typical southern suburban community. We both grew up in a Christian home and both became Christians at early ages. And we knew that God was calling us to start a new church. We just had no idea where. New York City was a place that I've always said that I've always wanted to visit but would never want to live. God used a mission trip to New York City, however, to begin a long process of changing our hearts and helping us to see the need for new churches in the city. In August of 2012, we knew that God was calling us to start Metro City Church in Brooklyn, New York. So we sold about half of our stuff, packed up the other half, and moved over 900 miles to our new home. Last summer, we had the awesome privilege of meeting a mission team from Life Community Church who came literally the day that we launched. And through mission teams like yours, we've been able to cover our entire community in prayer. We've been able to give out literally thousands of invite cards to people in our community, and we've made personal connections with hundreds of people through mission teams like yours. This Thanksgiving, we had a team come from North Carolina, and we were able to give out over 600 winter coats to people in our community on a cold, snowy afternoon here in Brooklyn. We were also able to serve a hot meal to over 100 people in our community in the name of Jesus. We've also started weekly worship services, and we've been excited to see about 25 people coming every week from our community, people that we've reached through mission teams and through building relationships. And all of this is made possible through churches like you, giving sacrificially in order to make the gospel known across our country and around the world. And I just wanted to say thank you, that even though you are still a young church as well, you are making an investment in us, and we're humbled and grateful for your support, and we're excited about you guys coming this summer and ministering to our community again. And I'm excited to see what the Lord does through you guys. Thank you, and God bless.
Yes, and so if you want to go on mission trip this summer in New York, come see us, and it'll be awesome. And that's part of what our mission offering is going to. Why is it important for us to show you where that's going to? So you know that your sacrifice this Christmas is going to credible, legit places. Amen? That's going to places that need help and support and mission work. And it's all about the love of God. All right, you ready for the word this morning? All right, good. Take your Bibles and open up to the book of Isaiah chapter 7, and then Matthew and Luke. Okay, that's the best way to phrase it today. Matthew and Luke and Isaiah 7. We're going to talk about Christmas. Amen? So as we read God's word, we've been looking at the prophecies in Isaiah and how they have led and foretold to Christmas. And one of those famous prophecies in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 is one that is often quoted at Christmas. But we first see it in Isaiah. And it says this. It says, therefore, in verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now listen, church. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Father, may you bless the word this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Isaiah's day, this was a prophecy that would be just as applicable to him in that day as it would be in the days of Jesus, because they were in a time period where they were really nervous about the current political situation and all the enemies that were coming against them. And Isaiah was basically saying, guys, don't align yourself with other people. Align yourself with God, because God is with us. And it would be that same prophetic message that Mary would be told to many, many years later. They would say, Mary, don't worry. You're about to have a son. And that son will be named Emmanuel, God with us. As we think about love today, and we think about the love of God, Emmanuel is so perfect to go with the love of God, because the word itself literally means God is with us. Listen to what John 1:14 says in the New Living Translation. So the Word became human and made His home among us. You know, 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to this earth, He came to live amongst people. He was born in a very nasty old stable, laid in a manger, which a manger was a feeding trough. That's what that was. It was a feeding trough. And more than likely, it was a stone feeding trough, because that's what they had in those days. And there, the infant child was laid, and the King of the universe was born into that kind of condition. But Jesus would grow. He would teach us about God. He would teach us about the kingdom of God. And then He eventually would come to be the sacrifice for all of mankind. That the manger would lead to the cross, and that Jesus would suffer and die and bleed on the cross for our mistakes and our failures. And 3 days later, the Bible says that He rose from the dead. And one of the greatest gifts God has ever given to us is Jesus Christ. Do y'all believe that this morning, church? The greatest gift ever given is Jesus. So when we talk about all we want for Christmas, here's the deal. If you got Jesus, guess what? He's all you need for Christmas. He's all you need for Christmas. And the promise is that He would be God with us. That no longer would God be separated from us if we know Jesus. That we would no longer be isolated from God if we know Jesus. That we would be brought together with God. We would no longer need a priest. We would no longer need the rituals and the law. We would need Jesus. And Jesus would connect us to God. And we would commune with God and know God in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Christ lives in our hearts today, we can pray to God. In the name of Jesus, we can pray and talk directly to God. We can ask for things from the Holy Spirit. We sense His presence, forgiveness of sin, so much God with us. Jesus, our high priest, He is God with us. And you know, as with Him being our heavenly Father and we His children, it is so true today that the best gift you can ever give a child is spelled T-I-M-E. Time. The best gift you can ever give your kid is spending time with your children. going on activities and trips with them and spending time and loving them. And likewise, it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He shows He loves us by coming to live with us and to be with us and to spend time with us. God is no longer distant. He is near because of Jesus Christ. And this is what Christmas is all about. On Fridays, most of you guys know this, we take my day off on Friday and Saturday, and it's been come to known around the Rager house that Friday is Daddy Home Day. That's Daddy Home Day. And that's what I do. So many of you all call me and text me, and unless your house is on fire or you're having a massive heart attack, I normally don't reply back. Amen, you know? So keep texting. It ain't going to happen unless you're dying, all right? So here's the deal. Here's why. Because Daddy Home Day is important to my little ones. They look forward to it. They love Daddy Home Day. And to be honest with you, Daddy likes Daddy Home Day too. He loves it. It's my time that I get to spend with my children. And I love all my children, and they need my time. It's a great gift for me. It's a great gift for them. And they love it. So for me personally, I understand the value of time. And I understand the value of being with my children. Likewise, our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father wants to spend time with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And this Christmas, you may feel so far from the love of God. You may feel so far from God's love, and you may think, well, God, where were you when this happened, or where were you when this happened? Where is your love today? And what I'm saying is this, is that if you turn your eyes to Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us, you'll sense the love of God. You can't help but to know that God loves you when you sense the Emmanuel presence of God. So all I want for Christmas is to know that God loves me and is with me. Because if God loves me, He won't leave me. You believe that today? If God loves you, He won't leave you. I believe that with all of my heart. I want you to look real quickly in the Christmas story. We spent a month talking about Isaiah, getting ready for Christmas. Let's get Christmas-fied this morning. Amen. Let's get donkeys and mangers and stars. Let's do it. Amen. Y'all ready? We need stars and wise men. Boy, let's bring it. Y'all going to get it heavy this morning. Y'all ready? Here we go. God was with us. Emmanuel, God loves us. Here's why. Because God is with the confused this Christmas. Look at Mary's life. He's with the confused. We read this from Luke's account, if you have your notes with you from the program. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is what? With you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Then there is an explanation in Luke of what Jesus would be like. And then you jump down to verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be since I have not been intimate with the man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." When Mary got this news that the angel was coming and that she was going to bear the child of God inside of her in a miraculous way, she was confused. She asked a question, "How can this be?" Ladies, if you just woke up and an angel told you, say, "Hey, you got a baby in you, and it's from God," would you not be a little confused? What? What? I mean, you know, everything's going good, and now you're telling me I'm going to be vomiting and gaining weight and hurting, and I got to give labor? Say, what? Yes. She was confused. And that's exactly what happened. The angel said, "You're going to have birth." And she said, how could this happen? I'm engaged, but I haven't had relations. How can this happen?" And the angel tells her two things, that she found favor with God. And what that meant was that she did not earn favor with God. The Greek, it seems to imply that she had favor because there was grace upon her. There was grace given to Mary. There was God's grace upon her. And second, he said that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. So in her confused state, the answer she was given was this: you have God's grace, and the Holy Spirit will help you. You know, today there's lots of questions that I don't have the answer to. Why did this happen? What's my purpose in life? Will I get that job? Will I ever get married? Can I contribute even though I've blown it so big? Those are big questions to ask, serious questions to ask this Christmas, dealing about significance and purpose, and you just don't have the answer. Anybody just not have the answer to something today? I'm going to tell you that with God with us, when Jesus walks with us and He lives with us, Emmanuel, God with us, even if you don't have the answers, I can promise you two things, the same two things that Mary was promised, that you'll have God's grace if you know Jesus. Amen? Isn't that good for when we don't know the answer and we stumble and we try to figure it out and we mess up so often, that God's grace is there? And the second thing is this, is if you know Jesus, the Bible promises that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God lives inside of you upon belief. He comes in to lead you and guide you and empower you. Even though you may not have the answers this Christmas and you don't know what the answer to do and this and that, all I can tell you is that in Jesus you have God's grace and you have the Holy Spirit. And that's good news. Amen. God is with the confused. He's going to give you the Spirit. He's going to give you grace. But second, the Lord is also with the conflicted this morning. He's with those that have problems. He's with those that are having hardship, the conflicted. We look at Joseph's life. The Bible says this in Matthew's account, in chapter 1 of Matthew. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, stop and do the math. Men, you love God, you're righteous, you believe that sex is reserved for the marriage bed, as it should be. You've tried to live pure before God. You're engaged to a very godly woman, and she's pregnant. How would you feel? Amen. How would you feel? So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. It seems to imply that he was trying to protect her, because the law would have actually demanded that if she had committed adultery while pledged, that she would be what? Does anybody know what could have happened to Mary? Stoned to death, rocks thrown at her and killed. But because he was a righteous man, he chose not to make a big deal about this, but he was still hurting. Divorced secretly. But after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Joseph needed the angel to come talk to him because of the pain that he was experiencing in his life. Don't for one minute think that Joseph wasn't hurting at Christmas. He was hurting. He was having a really hard time. But God intervened and came to Joseph and told Joseph that what was inside of Mary was God Himself, and that he was not to divorce Mary or to put her away. So Joseph had an internal conflict. Many of you all today have an eternal conflict. You have a sickness. You have a money problem, you have a marriage problem, you have some sort of trouble that you're dealing with, you have a historical problem with something in your life, and there is now conflict. When there should be peace, there is now chaos, and you wonder, why should it be like this? And you're just praying that God would help you. And what I'm saying is with Jesus is that if you're struggling this Christmas and you have a problem of some sort, of some magnitude, of some gravitude, that the promise of Emmanuel, that God is with you, is that Jesus will walk with you through that problem. Now, I'm not saying that He takes it away miraculously, though He can. Sometimes He chooses not to. Sometimes He walks with us through the valley. I don't know why He doesn't automatically take us out of the valley sometimes, but He doesn't. But He will walk with us in the valley. And most of the time, He'll carry us through the valley. Y'all with me, church? He'll carry us in the valley. And He'll teach us about His grace. And here's what I know. Though God may not have caused the hurt in your life, the Lord can take the hurt and bring something beautiful out of it. God can take it and get glory to His name. God can heal the conflict in our lives with people, with others, in the name of Jesus. But most importantly, Jesus came to heal the conflict between us and God. You know you have conflict with God. Don't you know that? You got problems with God. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whether you want to admit or not, you all got problems with God. Because you're sinners. And you fail God. And you don't live up to God's standards. But here's what's awesome. That when Jesus came to this earth and He died upon the cross, He took our punishment. Our punishment was on Him, and we were transferred His righteousness. So our conflict with God was resolved at the cross of Jesus. That when Jesus died and shed His blood, and He looked at His heavenly Father and He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? The reason was because when at that moment, when God the Father looked at God the Son, He saw your sin. Your yuckiness, your garbage, and the wrath of God, the punishment of your sin, was on Jesus. And for all those that believe, we receive His peace. So the greatest thing about conflict with God is that if you believe in Jesus, you've been healed of your conflict with God. It's been resolved in Jesus. You've received forgiveness and peace. And that's really what Christmas is all about. Y'all with me, Life Community? That Christ came to resolve the conflict we have with God. But finally, I want you to see this, that God is also with the curious this morning. Look at the wise men, for example. The Bible says back in Matthew, in chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him. The wise men were more than likely pagan Gentiles. They probably had various gods. And they looked to the stars for the answers. And when they saw this unusual star appear at the birth of Jesus, they began to seek out the prophecies. They read Isaiah, they read Malachi, they read Micah. They read these prophecies, and it took them to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem? Because they didn't have all the references that we have today. They just knew that the king of Israel lived where? In Jerusalem. So they went to King Herod's house, and they said, hey, we saw this star. We came to check it out. Is the new king here? And Herod says, what new king? What new king? And they say, go check it out. And God guided the wise men to the house that Jesus was in. By the way, I don't want to bust your Christmas bubbles, okay? More than likely, should I really tell you this? I'm going to tell you this. You ready? I'm going to tell you. I'm so sorry. Don't destroy your nativity sets when you go home, okay? More than likely, the star appeared when Jesus was born, okay? The wise men began their travel at the appearing of the star. The Bible seems to indicate that when they found Jesus, He was a child sitting on Mary's lap. More than likely, He was about 2 years old. So the wise men came about 2 years later. Don't bust your nativity sets up. Okay, don't do that. It's okay. If the kids come out here dressed like wise men, it's okay. All right, we're still biblical, okay? Amen. Don't get mad at the kids, all right? It's going to be okay. Nobody get mad at the kids, all right? It's going to be okay, all right? But God was guiding them. And what's great, when they laid their gifts before the Lord, it seems to indicate in Scripture that they worshiped Jesus, putting the other gods aside and converted to Christ right there. I believe that. I believe the wise men were saved at Christmas. I believe when they saw the king, their questions were answered, and they put their faith in Jesus. I believe those men are in heaven. Because they put their faith in Jesus and they turned away from their other gods. Some of you are curious. You don't have the answers. And especially in regards to theology. unlike the confused of why something has happened, now you're curious about the Bible itself. Can it be trusted? Can God be trusted? Can Christianity be trusted? The difference between the wise men and Mary was that Mary just didn't know why this was happening. The wise men didn't know which way was the truth. And then now they discover the truth. The God of the Jews was the true God. And now they're putting their faith in God. And God had guided them and used a star to lead them out of their pagan beliefs into the truth. Today, some of you all are wondering about Jesus. Can we trust Jesus? Can we believe in Jesus? If Emmanuel is real, that God with us, how do I know that Christ is here? We have a star today, two stars, I think, many stars. But three stars, real quick, that leads us to Jesus. I would say first is the Holy Spirit. He's convicting our hearts and He's guiding us. And it's that feeling you get in your heart that it's about to explode and you know something's happening and God's pulling on you. That's the Holy Spirit. I would say second that another star He's given us to guide us to truth is the Bible. I believe God's given us His Word to guide us into truth. We live in a day and age where people are neglecting God's Word. And they'll read it and they'll base what they believe about God not on what the written Word says, but about how they feel. And this is a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. And this is something that our generation is very, very guilty of. We will say, well, I know it says that, but I feel this way about that subject. Guys, listen, I love you. It don't matter how you feel. It matters what God's Word says. Are y'all with me? It doesn't matter how you feel about a subject, or because you know somebody over here and that changes your feelings or this or that. What matters is God's holy, inerrant, infallible, powerful Word that we trust in. When we derive our theology based on how we feel, you know what will happen? You will be in a cult before you know it. It'll lead you in a heresy. We do not base our theology on how we feel. I'm pretty passionate about this. You getting that this morning? We base our theology on what the written Word of God says. He's given us His church as another star. A community of believers that are ministering in the community. And I want to brag. A few people yesterday went and hung candy canes on doors that said Merry Christmas from Life Community Church. Just to bless. Just to bless. God gives us His Spirit, the Word, the church, to make a difference. See, all of these people, Mary, Joseph, the wise men, understood they needed God with them. They opened up their hearts and they embraced Emmanuel, God with them. Today we must do the same thing. We must open up our hearts and say, Lord, I need You in my life. I need Emmanuel, God with me. Now sometimes we don't want Emmanuel, right? Can we just be real? We don't want God with us. You ever had a child or a teenager that's just a little bit too happy that you're leaving the house? They're just a little bit too excited that you're going out on a date night? They're just a little too excited that they have full access to the house when you're not there. Some of us don't want Emmanuel. Why? Because we don't want God's presence over us. King Herod was like that. He didn't make the list today, but he rejected Emmanuel. When you read about Herod and you read about the wise men telling him Emmanuel's here, he's angry because he was the puppet king of Rome placed on the throne. And he wanted to find the baby, but not to worship him like the wise men, but to do what? To kill him. And the Bible says that when he learned that the wise men had duped him, that's the New Kenny translation, okay? When the wise men had duped him, he ordered for all of the infants, again, 2 years and under, I wonder why, you see, 2 years and under, to be executed. And the Bible says that there was great weeping amongst Rachel's children, alluding to the children of Israel that day. See, when we don't have room in our hearts for Jesus, there's a lot of pain that happens, and a lot of bad stuff that happens. This Christmas, my decision is simply this, is to allow Christ to come in. It's to allow Christ to come in. It's simply to say, I need Jesus in my life. I don't want to live my life anymore without Jesus. I believe He died. I believe He rose again. I need God with me today. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. You know, that could change right now. You could be in here today and you've never, ever surrendered your heart to Jesus. You never opened up your heart. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in." It's as simple as receiving Him, believing He died on the cross and rose again, and saying, "Lord, I need You to save me. I need You to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and to be with me." Do you know today He's in your life? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you know Emmanuel is with you? Maybe you've never done that. You're going to have a chance right now to pray to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior if you feel God tugging on your heart. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, and as our musicians begin to come and play softly? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would ask you today to look into your heart. Does Jesus live in your heart today? Are you saved by God's grace? Is He in your heart? If today you've never accepted Jesus, God has done all the hard work. But it's time to open up your heart and to let Him in. Pray this prayer with me for the very first time if you've never invited Christ into your heart. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. But I believe Jesus is God. I believe He came on Christmas. I believe He died. And I believe He rose again. Come into my life and save me. Thank You for saving me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if today you prayed to receive Christ for the very first time in your life, and you would say, "Kenny, I just want to tell you that I asked Jesus to save me today. I'm not going to call you out or point you out or embarrass you or come to you or anything like that. I promise you, nobody will come to you." But if today you would just say, "Kenny, for the very first time, I opened up my heart and I believe Jesus came into my heart and saved me. Emmanuel is in me now." Would you raise your hand and just say, "Kenny, I did that today"? Real quick, up and down. God bless you. God bless you. If you did that today, I don't pull you to the front. That's not how I do things. But the Bible says if you confess Him before men, He'll confess you before angels. I pray you'll walk that aisle today. I do. I pray you'll get out of it and you'll come and make your salvation public. That you won't be afraid. You won't be scared because God is with you. The first test of God with you. That you'll come today and take me by the hand and say, "Kenny, I did that today." So, Father, we thank You for Jesus. Lord, I pray for those that prayed to receive Christ this morning. God, You're with them. Give them the courage to step out today. Give them the courage. Don't let them sit still. Let them be the first ones. Emmanuel, God with us. We pray in Your name. Amen. As we stand to sing, as we worship the Lord, won't you be the first to come today?